From KMXT and Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, in recognition of the fishing industry, which provides over 58,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
For the first time in its history, the Bering Sea snow crab fishery will not open for the upcoming season. Alaska's Department of Fish and Game announced the closure Monday afternoon. The Bristol Bay Red King crab fishery will also be closed this year for a second year in a row. KMXT's Kirsten Dobroth reports.
Gabriel Prout co-owns the FV Silver Spray with his dad and brothers. The Silver Spray is a 116-foot steel crabber that's home-ported in Kodiak. He says he wasn't surprised that Fish and Game closed the king crab fishery. In a normal year, he'd go out for king crab too. But numbers have been on the decline, and that fishery didn't open last year either.
The real shocking part is the total complete collapse of the snow crab fishery, which no one expected last year when it happened, and now a complete closure this year was equally as shocking.
Miranda Westfall is an area management biologist with Alaska's Department of Fish and Game. She says the sudden decline in snow crab came as a shock to biologists, too. Back in 2018, there was record recruitment in the Bering Sea snow crab stock. Those numbers started to go down in 2019, and there was no survey in 2020 due to the pandemic.
And then in 2021, when they surveyed, we saw the largest decline we've ever seen in the snow crab population, which was very startling, I think, for everyone. It wasn't something we expected. We, you know, were expecting to have this record recruitment come through the population.
The quota was down about 90% from 2020, and this year's numbers were even worse, according to Westfall, prompting the fishery's closure. Westfall says they're not totally sure what caused the snow crab collapse, but they suspect warmer ocean conditions caused by climate change may be partly to blame. 60 or so boats normally go out for Bering Sea snow crab, according to Westfall. Prout, the Kodiak fisherman, says a deckhand might make $50,000 to $80,000 in a good year, and the ex-vessel value for one boat is more than $1 million. There is a small tanner crab fishery slated to open later this month in the Bering Sea. Prout says that's a Band-Aid, though.
It really has been in the past a kind of a bonus when you have to fish that alongside the snow crab. But seeing as there's no snow crab this year with the closure, we're contemplating whether or not we should even make the trip out west with the high fuel prices.
He estimates that right now it costs about $100,000 in fuel round trip to make it to the Bering Sea fishing grounds. The price of steel needed to maintain the Silver Spray's more than 200 crab pots has also jumped. He and his family are still waiting on fishery disaster payments to come through from the federal government for past poor seasons and closures. Prout says his family tenders in Prince William Sound during the summers. They're already eyeing that season to make up some of the financial loss from the crab closure, but others won't have many options.
People are really going to have to make some hard calls here on whether that's selling out completely of their quota shares, selling their vessels, looking for other opportunities in other fishing sectors, which are few and far between. Fishermen are really going to be hurting the next year.
Meanwhile, Westfall says there could be more declines in the number of snow crabs over the next few years before the population starts to rebound. In Kodiak, I'm Kirsten Dobrath.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
Since 2014, Fat Bear Week has celebrated Katmai National Park's brown bears, with a tournament-style competition to determine which bear best exemplifies the essence of fatness. But Fat Bear Week is also about the salmon that make the bears so fat, and as KDLL's Riley Board reports, scientists are still scratching their heads about why those salmon are doing so well while other runs are crashing.
This year, Fat Bear Week seems to be getting more attention than ever, with national and international coverage. Last year, more than 800,000 votes were cast, as the competition, like other virtual events, saw increased participation during the pandemic. Behind the corpulent brown bears, the salmon they eat are the secret heroes of Fat Bear Week. Promotional materials for the event herald the fat bears as an example of the richness of the Bristol Bay area, home to record-setting salmon runs. But biologists like Vanessa Fonbila with the Alaska Science Center study how, while the Bristol Bay salmon continue to be a success story, salmon runs around the rest of the state, including on the Kenai Peninsula, are in decline. Fonbila studies the impact of environmental factors, like temperature, on salmon. She says record warm and dry weather in summer of 2019 coincided with widespread mortality for Pacific salmon, including many that were on their way back to their home rivers to spawn. Fonbila says throughout her 15-year career as a fish biologist, the tide has changed on how experts regard the impact of warmer waters on salmon. She says researchers once viewed warmer waters as a benefit to salmon, but now those temperature increases have gone too far.
A ton of research papers showed, you know, when things got a little bit warmer, that was better. The salmon had more food. The water temperatures were more at an ideal range for them, both, you know, in the ocean and the freshwater. But now some places have hit tipping points.
Bristol Bay was less impacted by the warm conditions of 2019, and scientists generally observed less salmon mortality in the area. Fonbila says scientists are still trying to figure out why that's the case. She said it could be related to the deepness of the area's lakes, which create a variety of water temperatures. Other scientists credit the region's intact habitat, or even say that for now, warmer temperatures are in fact benefiting the salmon. In the meantime, salmon in the Gulf of Alaska and other warming waters are able to move to new areas to adapt. For example, when glaciers retreat, salmon take advantage of new habitats.
But now we're seeing that pace maybe change to be a lot faster, and so that makes it hard for the places where people are really connected to salmon, because sometimes that means we're looking at links being broken in some places where people are connected to salmon, given that the climate is changing so rapidly.
Fonbila and other scientists are still trying to get to the bottom of the declines impacting fisheries around the state. But she says for now, Bristol Bay's runs continue to stick out as a salmon success. You can view the Brooks Falls brown bears, often eating salmon, on the live cams at explore.com. In Kenai, I'm Riley Board.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Federal fisheries managers say they've started work on a new management plan for the Cook Inlet salmon fishery months after a court said their plan to completely close the fishery was unjust. At a meeting in Anchorage on October 6th, John Kurland with NOAA Fisheries told the North Pacific Fishery Management Council that time is of the essence to create a new plan and comply with the court.
We can't wait, is the short answer.
The North Pacific Fishery Management Council manages fishing in Alaska's federal waters. In 2020, following a lawsuit from the United Cook Inlet Drift Association over management of the drift fishery, the council voted to close a large swath of Cook Inlet to commercial salmon fishing. That closure was controversial, and USITA sued once again to overturn the decision. The court sided with the group in June and told the state to reopen the fishery for the 2022 season. But that was just a temporary fix. Once again, USITA and the feds are at odds over what comes next. In a legal brief filed on September 6th, USITA said the group would like to see the feds approve a new management plan, one that would comply with Magnuson-Stevens and govern the whole of the Cook Inlet salmon fishery before the next fishing season starts. It says the feds should tap USITA to collaborate on that plan, and if a new plan isn't possible by June, it would like to see an order that imposes temporary relief for the 2023 season. But in a response brief filed on September 29th, the feds say that deadline is impossible. Kerlin says he'll ask the council for the green light to get started on analysis for the new plan, which he says could be in place in 2 years.
And as we've told the court in our filing, we think that can happen by the 2024 season. It won't be easy to do that in that time frame, but that's what we've told the court, and we think we can make that work.
In the meantime, NOAA says the fishery should continue under the management of the state of Alaska, as it has been for years. Dissatisfaction with that management was what prompted USITA to sue in the first place. USITA will have another chance to reply with another remedy brief later this month. Then the court will decide on a timeline. Thanks for that last bit of reporting from KDLL's Sabine Pooks.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, providing twice-weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle.